Bible and study with those who've come to be our way. So if you have any questions about the churches of Christ or any questions about anything you hear or see being done today during our worship services, please just ask anybody. We'll be more than happy to talk with you about any of those things. And if you care to, you might could note that on your card as well. So thank you once again for being here. In the passage that Gary read for us just a moment ago from Mark chapter 3, Mark is describing to us the ongoing effect of the ministry of Jesus, his work in this world. And Mark is actually talking to us in this third chapter about what has come to be called the Galilean ministry. Actually, Jesus will tour through or make trips through Galilee three times before his life in this world is concluded. And Mark, here in chapter 3, is describing to us the first of those three times. It's always been remarkable to me that here we are very early on in Jesus' public work, and already there are large multitudes of people who are following Jesus around from place to place. You'll notice in the verses that Gary read to us that several expressions were made about multitudes of people following him. So very early on in Jesus' ministry, he will gain quite a gathering of people who were in many different ways curious about who Jesus was and about what his work was in this world. Perhaps you know your Bible well enough to know that it will not be too long until those tides will turn. And Jesus will no longer enjoy such popularity, because individuals like the Pharisees and the scribes and different ones who were antagonistic to Jesus were very successful in stirring up the multitude of people against Jesus. And so what we're finding now here in Mark 3 at the early part of Jesus' ministry will actually and unfortunately be a little bit short-lived, as there will be more negative pressure against Jesus than positive the closer we move to the end of his life. But right now we're in this period of Jesus' life in which we're finding a great amount of popularity with Jesus among people. And so on your screen is one of the portions of the scripture that Gary read to us. And you'll notice that I've highlighted this idea about the multitudes. And I just sort of want you, as we get started in our time this morning, to get a concept of large crowds of people following Jesus around from various places that he went in and around Galilee. This roughly corresponds with what we might find in Matthew chapter 5 when Jesus was teaching on grassy mountain slopes. And there were 5,000 people who had turned out to listen to what Jesus had to say. Oh yeah, I know. There were some there who were just there for the loaves and fishes, and there will always be people like that. But there was just this large group that was curious and wanted to know about Jesus. Now what's happening in Mark chapter 3 is there is actually, in this entire chapter, quite a number of different people who came to have some type of interaction with Jesus. Mark chapter 3 is a unique place in our Bible because, as far as I'm aware, there are not very many Bible passages that show us so many different interactions of Jesus with so many different people. Perhaps Mark chapter 3 is all about a particular day in Jesus' life, or at least as you consider the context, it's a very short period of time in Jesus' life. And during this very short period, Jesus will actually interchange reactions and responses to and have conversations with about 7 or 8 different kinds of people. And in this portion of what we're going to be looking at, we're going to find the responses that Jesus had to about 3 different people. And so along with this great multitude of people, there were also individuals who had had people who had had unclean spirits cast out of them. Jesus was going about working miracles in and amongst the people of Galilee and every other place that he went in. And when he did so, sometimes he would cast out these demons. And so some of these people are present here in this large crowd of assembly. But what we're really going to center our time and attention around this morning, particularly in those verses that Gary read for us, is that Mark is going to identify for us three different kinds, of responses that people will have to Jesus on this occasion when he is in his Galilean ministry, this first time he's passed through Galilee. And these three different responses, what they do for us is they represent for us how different people reacted to Jesus. And I'm here to tell you this morning that the way these people reacted to Jesus is still the way people react to Jesus today. Even within this room this morning, there are going to be those individuals who will find themselves categorized in one of these three areas. We'll look at each of those here in just a few moments. And as we look at these, try to consider in your own life, in your own self, well, maybe where do I best fit in this list of responses that Mark is showing us? And do I need to change anything about maybe the way I'm living because there's something that shouldn't really quite be there and I need to be better in line with the life of Jesus in my own life? So we're going to look at these three responses and how people are responding to Jesus. There is, first of all, a group here in this context that Gary read for us who are made up of Pharisees and Herodians. I have identified this on your page, your screen here, by highlighting it in yellow. It seems as though the Pharisees were present when Jesus was saying these things, recorded in Mark chapter 3, and they left to go find the Herodians. We'll talk about the Pharisees and Herodians here in just a minute. There were not only Pharisees and Herodians, but there were also his disciples. His disciples were here. His disciples are going to be individuals who have an entirely different reaction than did the Pharisees and the Herodians. A unique way that they responded to Jesus that was different than that first group that is found here. And then, as we've already said, there were also just a multitude of people. In other words, these were just the common man and woman who had maybe heard something about Jesus. Maybe someone told them something. Maybe they saw something themselves, and they are curious about Jesus, and they want to know a little bit more. But all three of these groups of people represent different kinds of responses. And within those responses, you and I, even today, find our own selves. And so, let's begin this look through at these responses Jesus received by, first of all, looking at what Mark has to show us about the critics. The critics of Jesus. These were the naysayers. These were the people who had nothing good to say about Jesus. They had their agenda. They had their own reasonings, their own ideas about who Jesus was that was uncharacteristically true about him. But nonetheless, they were, as some people become, like a sack of cement, their mind all mixed up and permanently set. And so they didn't have anything good to say about Jesus. These are the critics of Jesus. Now, as we look at Mark chapter 3 and verse 6, the verse that Gary started us with just a moment ago, Mark describes to us that on this occasion there were listening to Jesus some individuals by the name of Pharisees, or by the identification rather of Pharisees. Maybe you're aware of the fact that the Pharisees were kind of a social, religious, political group that had been born out of the Jewish religion. And they were individuals who were fond of kind of making their own rules and regulations. They would take the Word of God, and from the Word of God, they would then develop their own concepts and ideas. And they felt like their traditions, their concepts, their ideas, well, you know, those are just as valid as the Bible. And so they would bind their traditions over on men. Some of the most stern rebukes that Jesus ever gave to any group of people, he gave to the Pharisees. If you have the time this afternoon, please read through your Bible in Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23, what you'll find is a list of a number of woes or condemnations that Jesus has for the Pharisees for their imputing upon people rules and regulations that God had never made. And so he will scold them, and he will scold them quite severely. But aligned with the Pharisees is this additional group who is mentioned here, and they are the Herodians. Now, it's interesting. The Herodians, they were an entirely different group of people. Oh, they had their own agenda. I'm not trying to say that. And they were sort of a social, political type of group as well that was around in the days of Jesus. But they were different in regard to the fact that they come from a different background. They were actually individuals who developed back out of what we have come to call the Intertestament period, that 400-year period between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament, and their group arose from there. And they were individuals who had an allegiance to putting someone from the descendancy of Herod on the throne. The Pharisees wanted a descendant of David on the throne. Of course, they were misconstrued in regard to the fact that they were looking for a physical king, and Jesus did not come to be a physical king. You're very much aware of that, I'm sure. But the Pharisees and the Herodians had a different background. One wanted a king from David's line, the other wanted a king from Herod's line. But isn't it interesting that when Jesus is speaking, the Pharisees understood what Jesus was saying, and they were so incensed, they were so enraged, that their first move, you'll notice Mark says, straightway, we would say immediately, we would say the first thing they did is they went and they found the Herodians. And they said, this man's saying these kinds of things. And so as you look at the end of your verse, Mark 3 and verse 6, their reaction was, we're through listening to Jesus. We're through putting up with this masquerader. We're through listening to this blasphemer. And so their intention was that they're going to destroy Jesus. And if you are careful reading the Gospel of Mark, you will find that from this point on, there will be other places in the Gospel of Mark that talk about this same ideology that they now had, that they're going to destroy Jesus because they think Jesus needs to be gone from this earth. And so let's kind of make a point right here to remind ourselves that there will always be critics of Jesus. There will always be those individuals who will stop at nothing to tear down the work of the gospel. There were naysayers in Jesus' day, right here in Jesus' presence, and individuals continue like that today. They have no use for God. They have no use for the Son of God. They have no use for the Bible. And all of those things are a distraction to them. All of those things are things that need just be wiped from the earth. Maybe you are aware of a group of individuals who call themselves Freedom from Religion. The Freedom from Religion group. And they're made up of individuals who identify themselves as non-theists. Now that's a big fancy word, but all in the world it means is they don't believe in God. They don't believe in the Bible. They are atheistic. They are agnostic. They are skeptics from a variety of backgrounds, but they have no use for God. Among the audience of Jesus as he's preaching and teaching, there are individuals just like that. There are individuals who all their intent was that we've got to stop this man. We've got to stamp out what he's saying. We don't want to listen to this anymore. We don't want to hear any more of this. And so their efforts are to destroy Jesus. But I want you to notice on this occasion what Jesus did, and that is he didn't argue with these individuals. All that he did was continue what he had come to do. And that is, on this particular occasion, to heal this man who had this problem with his hand. And so he didn't let these individuals who stood in opposition to him, or to the work that God had given him to do, he didn't let those individuals interfere with what he had come to do, with what his mission in this world was. And I want to suggest to you that that should be our response as well. We should not let anyone of this world who maybe has their own agenda politically, religiously, socially, whatever it may be, who is against the God of the Bible, who has no use for the Bible, we should not let them bully us into the way that we should live. We should still continue to live by Christ-like values. We should still continue to honor the Word of God. We should still continue to speak the name of Jesus and uphold the doctrine of Christ in everything that we do as our lives live on. Our response should not be anything different than the response of Jesus. Just keep on doing what God has given us to do. And so the critics, there were critics of Jesus here. There were people who had no use for him, who didn't want him, who didn't believe in him, who in fact thought he was an imposter, a blasphemer. But there's another group that is here. And this group we're going to call those who were committed to Jesus. Exact opposites of the previous groups of individuals. These are individuals who are committed to following Jesus in their own life. Let's think about these individuals for just a minute, remembering that we all fit into one of these categories. In Mark chapter 3, verse 7, and then again in verse number 9, the Bible tells us about the disciples of Jesus. The disciples of Jesus. Now, here in just a little bit, Mark will name for us, name by name, who those disciples were. If you were just to kind of scan your eyes down to about verse number 14 in your own Bible, you would find the list of these individuals. These are the disciples of Jesus, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and all the rest of these. And Mark identifies for this, are these people for us. And these are the people who, when they were given the opportunity to come and follow Jesus, they realized what a great opportunity was theirs. They are not unlike those individuals who in the parables Jesus told of the pearl of great price and the treasure hid in the field. They realized what had just come into their life. And they decided that that's what they wanted for their life. And they are going to be committed to Jesus. Oh, I'm not trying to tell you that the disciples of Jesus were sinlessly perfect, because they were not. But they were nonetheless individuals who, when they began their life of following Christ and made that decision, they for the most part followed that decision through. Andrew and James left behind their fishing boats. Matthew left his tax collecting business. These are people who could immediately recognize the great opportunity that had been before them, and they did not hesitate in responding in a positive fashion. And so at just the invitation to come and follow Jesus, they just left everything behind. And they decided that that's exactly what they would do. They would go and they would follow Jesus. And as they continued to follow Jesus, they will offer their service to Jesus in a whole wide variety of ways. For example, here in this passage in Mark 3 and verse 9, Jesus has a very simple task for them to go and find a boat, because the crowd of people was so great that there wasn't really any convenient place for Jesus to be able to stand and preach and teach to these people. So Jesus requests them to go and find a boat, and they go out and they do that. Or maybe it was the more significant task that we read about in Mark 3 and verse 14, just a little beyond where Gary read through us. And we find that these disciples of Jesus, these 12, Jesus is going to send them on the mission to go out and preach and teach the gospel. And so whether it be something very simple, or whether it be something with a much broader area of influence, they're just going to do whatever Jesus tells them to do. They're committed to Jesus, and they're going to follow Jesus in every aspect of their life. Now let me tell you, just as there will always be critics of Jesus, just as there will always be naysayers and people who don't have any use for Jesus, there will always be people. There will always be people who all that it takes is just for someone to invite them to sit down maybe and study the Bible or to come to be at church services. All it takes is something just like that, and they are ready. And there will always be people whose heart and mind is in touch with and in need of a connection with God and with the Bible, God's Word. Now the thing is, we don't know who these people are. We don't know where they are. We don't know what's happening in their life that may at any moment turn them to the point where they're ready to become a committed follower of Jesus. But one thing they do need, and that is just a simple invitation. Jesus invited His disciples to follow Him, and when He gave that invitation, they were ready, and they were open to that very thing. When Jesus talked with Matthew in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 14, we find that all Jesus did was give the invitation. And so you see, what our job is to plant the seed, isn't it? That's our job. To talk about Jesus, to talk about God, to talk about things in the Bible. And who knows, perhaps there will be individuals just like Levi or Matthew, who all it takes is just a simple invitation. All it takes is just simply asking them, would you like to come to church services with me? Or maybe handing them a tract or a bulletin or a CD and say, I really would like you to listen to this. If you just listen to it, then maybe we could talk about it later. And you see, all they need is just a little nudge, don't they? All they need is just a little invitation to get them started along the way. And who knows, perhaps like that parable of the soil, this individual will grow and develop. They'll be a good and honest heart, and their lives will develop. They'll become a member of the body of Christ by obeying the gospel of Christ. And upon their obedience, they'll just continue to grow and flourish. They'll be like that newborn babe, won't they? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. That newborn babe who's hungering and thirsting and desiring for the pure Word of God. And that is often started just with something as simple as an invitation. Brethren, have you ever thought about the fact that you and me, that we may be the very people that someone is waiting for to just hand out that invitation, to just extend the simple word like Jesus did on this occasion when Matthew, when Levi was invited to come and follow Jesus? That's all they're waiting for. And again, we don't know who they are or where they are or what's happening in their life. It may be the person you're shopping beside in the grocery store. It may be the gas station attendant where you buy your gas. And all they need is just a little bit of help. All they need is just a little bit of information. That's all it took for Alphaeus. That's all it took for Levi. And there will always be individuals like that around us. We just have to be bold enough and courageous enough to open our mouths, talk with people about the Lord. And so the critics. Yeah, the critics. There will always be critics. There will always be people, well, you know, just flat out, they got no use for Jesus. They got no time for Him. They got no use for the Bible. But then there will always be people who are committed. And all they need is just a little start, a little bit of information for them to learn what the Bible teaches about becoming Christians. And they'll respond to that. And they'll grow and flourish and be faithful, committed Christians all of their lives. But then there's this last group. And really, I kind of want to spend most of the time right here with this last group, because perhaps this last group is representative of most of what we find in this world today. It was certainly representative of what mostly could be found in Jesus' day. Oh yeah, there were critics and there were committed people, but there were also this whole group of people who had just heard something about Jesus. They knew a little bit about Jesus, but they keep coming to listening to what Jesus has to say. And this is this great multitude of people that Mark is telling us about over and over again. And so as you look at Mark 3, verses 7 through 8, Mark talks about a great multitude in verse 7. In verse 8, he talks about a great multitude again. And so these are large swells of people. And they've come to listen. They've come to hear what Jesus has to say. And what Mark does for us in this passage is he goes a little bit further and he's trying to give us the concept of how much these people had overcome in order to get to Jesus. And so he'll talk about people coming from Galilee. Well, that's right there where Jesus is right now on this occasion. They didn't have to travel too far. But there were some who come from a little further south in Judea. There were some who came from Jerusalem, about 60 miles away, from Idumea. Some from beyond the Jordan River. Some from Tyre and Sidon, about 40 miles away in the north. And so there are these great swells of people who are coming from all of these different places, some of them traveling a great distance. And the reason they have come is because of what Mark tells us. They had heard what great things he had done. Somehow they learned about Jesus. They either heard something that Jesus spoke or someone told them about him. But nonetheless, they are here. And they have come because they are curious. Mark doesn't say that these people were his disciples. They're really just trying to figure out who Jesus is and what he's up to. And I tell you, when you look through the gospel, what you'll find is you will always find that there were a group of curious onlookers from place to place wherever Jesus went. They were individuals who were not like the committed individuals who could immediately recognize the value of being a follower of Jesus. They were not exactly like that. Rather, what they needed was to hear about him, and then maybe to hear about him some more, and then maybe to hear about him some more, because they were trying to figure out who Jesus was. Now, there's no way to know for sure, but of this group of inquisitive observers, maybe eventually there were some who went on to become followers of Jesus. And sometimes it's like that. Sometimes it's just like that. Sometimes what it is like is people just need to check things out a little bit. These are individuals who are not necessarily unreligious people or unspiritually minded. They just need to be provided some information. And maybe they need that information more than just one time. There may be a little bit more like Thomas than other people were. You know, Thomas, after Jesus was crucified, Thomas said, "I'm not going to believe," didn't he? He said that, didn't he? "I'm not going to believe unless I put my hands in the scar of his side and I feel the nail prints. I'm not going to believe." Well, let me ask you, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with wanting the evidence for what you believe? Well, the answer to that is nothing. There's nothing wrong with that. And there are people just like that who encounter Jesus on occasion. They were trying to figure out who he was and what he's doing in this world. And there will be people like that today. In fact, I would dare say that maybe most people fall into this category. But here's what I want you to get. That's okay. It's okay that they want to hear and they want to learn and they want to come to a first-hand knowledge for themselves. They want to be sure that Jesus really is who he says he is. They want to be sure that the Bible really is God's Word. They want to know these things for themselves. And that's absolutely okay. Because as you've heard before, and as you well know, the unexamined faith, well, it's just not worth having in it, is it? We're in a world that is spoon-fed religion. And they just accept whatever they hear without examining, without being curious, without questioning. And so let me tell you, when you find someone who is curious about the gospel of Christ, and maybe they're tangled and all cut up in various man-made versions of the gospel, which is never good, but maybe that's just where they are. But they're curious about what the Bible says. And we need to realize it's sometimes those very people who make those most dedicated Christians. Brethren, you and I have to give them the opportunity. We have to be willing to be patient with them. We have to be willing to give them time to respond to the Word of God and to come to know the Word of God. We must be open. We must be receptive to their questions. We must be individuals who are set for the defense of the gospel, We're willing to talk with them about the gospel. We must be individuals who are speaking the truth in love. And maybe it takes more than just one time. That's okay. That's okay. It's okay that it takes more than one time because they just want to be sure. They just want to know. I like what Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always. Not every once in a while, not just one time, not just a flash in the pan, but you be ready always to answer every man that asks a reason of the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear. And so we must be willing to be just like the Apostle Paul was in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 22, willing to be all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Let's make sure that what we teach and what we practice go hand in hand. Because there are people who are curious about Jesus. They're the window shoppers of Christianity, aren't they? And maybe even they go from place to place and they're sort of checking out place to place and they want to see if there's genuineness there, if there's authenticity there, if there really is the Bible being preached there, if the God of heaven really is glorified, if the name of Jesus really is exalted, and then those people live that out in their lives. Hopefully, prayerfully, those people will want to come and check it out again, and maybe again, and again and again, and want to become New Testament Christians eventually. Maybe that's where those people are in their lives. Now this morning, as we close out our time together, I just simply want to put to you the question, as we've looked at these three groups of individuals who have come to be in Jesus' presence on this occasion described in Mark 3. And that question is, where are you? Are you a critic? Are you among the disciples of Jesus? You're committed to Jesus? Maybe you're among the curious. Now, I really doubt this morning, I really doubt there's critics among us. Most likely you are here not because someone twisted your arm and forced you to be here. You probably dressed your own self. You probably got in your own car, spent your own money to come and be in this place and listen to what the Word of God has to say. You're probably not a critic if you're in this room this morning. You may be a disciple of Jesus. You may be an individual who has already made that commitment that what I want to do is I want to obey the gospel of Christ. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, and you've made that confession in the spirit of what the Bible talks about in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, you've repented of your sins, and you've been baptized. And when you were baptized, those sins were washed away, and the Lord added you to the church. You were now one of His disciples. You've now become a Christian. Or maybe, just maybe this morning, you're among that group who is curious, trying to figure it out. You're trying to learn who Jesus is and what He offers to you and what opportunities are before you to become a New Testament Christian. I hope and pray if that's where you are that you would give serious consideration to what we've talked about this morning, and maybe you'd be willing to become a Christian this morning. Or maybe you're at the point you want to learn some more. And maybe you'd like to study the Bible, and we'll be happy to help you with that. But let me say to you just now, if there's any of these kinds of responses that you need to make in your life and just want to let us know, then please, during this next song as Alan leads us, just respond to the gospel and we'll listen to your request and we'll pray with you and pray for you and do our very best to bring to your life whatever those things you may need to have. If you need to respond in that way this morning, won't you come as Alan leads us, please?